what happened when you went there?
Well, I tried to find a bed. There were a couple of beds there. There were all sick people laying there already. So I got two chairs and I just lay down on the two chairs. Couldn't stand up much. After a few days over there, a policeman came in and said, "Stand up." You know, some of our people from our town were working already in the rifle factory. And I stood up. He says, "I guess you do," because people were dying over there working at the machines in the rifle factory. Somebody must have dropped dead. They needed somebody. So I couldn't even stand up really well. But I figured, he said, "We need somebody in the rifle factory," and I figured there'd be a good way for me to get in there. If I work, maybe I'll survive. So they took me in there, assigned me a work detail at night between 6 o'clock at night and 8 o'clock in the morning to work to make the sights for the rifles. I couldn't even stand up near the machine. My former neighbor, who lived in Israel, he was working a machine nearby. And he told me you couldn't even stand up, you were breaking the machine. So he had to work both machines, his and mine, so they wouldn't beat me up so much.
Huh. Now, when you were hiding with your brother,
yes,
how many people were hiding in the attic with you?
Just the two of us.
How many days do you think you were hiding there for?
It was maybe a week or two. At night, we crawled out. You know, when the other people from the ghetto they came back home from work, see if I can get a few bites to eat, and then went back there to stay there.
Right, and then what happened? Okay, so
I got sick with a typhoid fever.
Yeah.
And during January 13, they liquidated the rest of the ghetto over there, and they were afraid to come in. The German guards were afraid to come into the dispensary. Typhoid fever is very contagious, so I got saved. I got saved by the typhoid fever.
So that was really a miracle.
Yeah. I stayed there. I don't remember for how long, until they said we need you bunk for somebody else. And I was because I was working on some other work already. When I was still sick, we started recuperating. The guards came and says we need somebody to go to work in the rifle factory. So that's why I wound up working in the rifle factory in the night shift.
Right.
I worked there for quite a while.
So what were you doing in the rifle factory?
Working on the sights for the rifles.
Right.
And I got saved, but my uncle Weisberg, Teddy's father, he was doing the tailoring for the high-ranking officers.
Right.
So he said that I am an expert. He needs me in the shop. I was no expert. I didn't know much about it, but he took me in with him over there. So it was a little easier.
So how long were you working in the rifle factory for?
It was quite a while, but if I would have stayed there, I may not have survived.
And what exactly were you doing in the rifle factory?
Making the sights for the rifles.
So when you were working, were you standing?
Standing up all night. The night shift between 6 at night and 8 in the morning. Nothing to eat.
And where was this, the rifle factory?
It was right in our hometown, Rado.
So was this a camp that you were in?
There was a camp. The camp was right nearby, and at that time it was a work camp. And the, and that that state until the SS came from Lublin. I forgot what year it was. I think it was 1943 or something. They came from Lublin and converted into a concentration camp, put on the striped uniforms, and it became much more. Before the SS came, it was just regular German guards, and they weren't as strict, but the SS was terrible. You know who the SS were?
Yeah.
Stormtroopers.
Right. So where were you sleeping at night?
The barracks.
And what did the barracks look like?
Yeah, it was a long barrack, and we were sleeping like sardines, one right next to the other. And when I wake up in the morning, I always felt the body to my left, so it was too warm or cold. It was cold, you just threw them over the back, and the same thing to the left. And people dying left and right.
And how many, were you sleeping on the floor, or were there bunk beds, or?
No, there was a platform. And it was just sleeping. And there was, if I remember, there was a double deck, one at the top and one over the bottom. And I always said to the guy that he is bigger, he sleeps in the top, I sleep in the bottom. You know, they were just laying like sardines, one next to the other.
How many people were in the barrack, do you think?
Oh, there were quite a few. I don't remember how many exactly. The barrack had a wooden floor. And there was outdoor party.
And could you go to the bathroom whenever you wanted?
Yes, it was outdoors, yeah. There was a joint washroom, I remember, where you wash your face in the morning, and the people used to have a joke. They used to be a pirates. The pirates is what do you call those people who pull those strings and make them move like a
marionette? Or?
Yeah. And back home, they were made out of like cardboard.
Right.
And when the guy looked at me, he says, "Legs those were pirates," which means I'm thin and scrubby, because he never could see his face. We didn't have any mirrors. So I used to say, "We thanks to the these days those."
Right. Now, was there someone who was head of the barrack?
Yes, there was a barrack leader. Yeah.
And was he Jewish?
Yes.
Do you still remember his name?
Well, the guy in charge of the whole camp was also a Jewish, was Mandelbaum, and never survived. Although his wife survived, she's still in New York.
Oh, right. And did you have a blanket?
I don't think there was some kind of a cover, a sheet, I think.
Did you have any possessions when you were there?
No, nothing.
Nothing? Did you have a toothbrush or a comb? Or?
So toothbrushes and combs, it's a joke. Your possession was, if you had a piece of bread, that was the possession.
Right. And so what happened in the morning? Did they count you in the morning?
Yeah, we had to fall in. I forgot what time it was. Six o'clock. There was like army roll call. Yeah, you had to stand there. One time in the camp, some people were building an underground tunnel. And they never made it out, you know. They were coming in at night, they're just digging with the fingernails, with the toes, and when the tunnel was outside the gate, it was a heavy rain, and it just fell in. They were all killed. They were put. put up as an example in front of us.
Oh. Did you know about it, that they were building the tunnel at the time?
No.
You didn't know?
No, but we saw the killing. There was,
how many of them were killed?
There were several. I don't remember exactly how many.
Okay, now, what kind of food did they give you?
The food, they had a little warm water in the morning. At 12 o'clock, they brought out a little so-called soup. One barley was chasing the other, and that was the thing. The bread ration was given you in the evening. And it was always, the bread was so heavy and sticky, it wasn't very big, that one bread had to be divided always by uneven numbers, so we should fight and kill amongst ourselves, always amongst 7, 9, or 11, and we devised a scale, like a couple wires and something, just to weigh each portion, so it would be equal.
Now, did you eat the bread all at once, or did you try to save it?
Most people just grabbed it and ate it up. I had a little system, particularly in the winter time. I figured at night we get that soup. And I used to take that, if I could, take that piece of bread and hide it under my head. So the next day when we go out to work, it's such a hard work, and if you have a couple bites to put in your mouth, it may help you get through the day better. You couldn't always do that because it was so hungry all the time.
Now, did they give you soup?
There was a soup at night and a soup at 12 o'clock. There wasn't much in the soup. There was never any meat.
Now, did you have your own bowl?
Yeah, there was a little can hanging on a rope around the waist. You always had that with you.
Huh. And did you have a spoon?
I didn't need any spoons.
Right.
I didn't need the spoons. Maybe I can't remember about the spoon, but you didn't need any spoon.
And what kind of clothing were you wearing?
Striped uniform. And a number written in the front. I can't remember the number. I think it's 24,000 something. I can't recall the exact number.
And you were, when you were working in the rifle factory, you were wearing a striped uniform at that time?
At the beginning, we were wearing the civilian clothes until the SS came from Lublin and converted it into the concentration camp. We're wearing the uniform.
Now, did they shave your head?
I don't think so. Well, we always had shaved heads because we couldn't keep ourselves clean.
Did you have lice?
Yeah, plenty.
And what did you...
Every now and then we got the delousing. They took a hose and sprayed us with some something there, who knows what.
What did you do to try to get rid of the lice?
Couldn't do a whole lot. Always itching, walking around. Couldn't do much.
Did you know anything about the Jewish holidays?
Yes, we had our chazan with us, chazan Moshe Ronta. He was in the same camp with us. And I remember a Yom Kippur service in the barracks. We had a little service. We chose the barrack furthest away from the tower gate so the Germans wouldn't hear us. And we quietly had a Kol Nidre service. Yeah. And during Yom Kippur, I saved that little bit of soup they brought out at 12 o'clock, so I would eat it at night.
Now, were people starving there?
They were just dying by the loads. Anybody who was cold, we just threw them over the hill.
And did people steal food?
Sometimes, yes.
Did you ever steal any food?
No.
And did anyone ever steal any food from you?
I don't remember.
No. And did people smoke cigarettes?
They didn't have any cigarettes. The only thing they had a hold of a cigarette if a German guard threw away a butt. Whoever happens to be the nearest always tried to grab it. The German had that fun. He used to kick him. That was his entertainment. And those who didn't smoke used to trade it in for a ration of bread. And I remember that I had my cousin was there in the same camp, and his father was still there with him. And one time he saw his father taking a few puffs from a cigarette butt, so he knew how he got it. That he traded this ration of bread, so he figured he's going to cure him of that. The next day, he did the same thing. They figured the father is going to see that he's doing it, maybe he stopped doing it, so he stopped him from doing it.
Right. Okay. And do you remember how long you were making the rifles for in the rifle factory? Were you working in a big room with a lot of other people?
Yes, there was a big hall, and standing up, particularly after typhoid fever, I couldn't stand up very well. And I was saved by the bell with my uncle, Pais of Weisberg, took me into the shop with him.
Right.
That was easier.
Yeah, who was your boss at work in the rifle factory?
It was a Polish overseer and a German guard.
Were they mean or were they nice?
Yeah, very, very rough.
But what would they do?
To watch the production. I'm very unmechanical. My machine work wasn't very good, and they used to kick you and beat you.
Right.
As long as they didn't shoot you, it was possible.
And do you remember any other stories that happened there before you went to work, you know, with your uncle?
No.
Anything else? Did you have any friends there?
My former neighbor was right with me.
What was his name?
Avrum Glat.
And what happened to him?
He wasn't the same camp with us, and he survived and went to Israel.
How long a walk was it to the rifle factory in the morning?
It was about half an hour or so.
Did they count you on the way back also?
No, we were under guard all the time. As we were walking to the rifle factory, we were under guard. And we were under guard on the way back from the factory to the barracks.
Do you remember them punishing people?
Kicking them and not shooting. There were no shootings.
So was this surrounded by wire and guard towers?
Yes.
Was it electric wire?
I think it was, yeah.
Right. And do you remember, how did you stay clean? Could you take a shower or?
It didn't stay very clean. There was an outdoor shower type. It wasn't a shower, and it was cold. You couldn't get undressed and take the shower, so you just washed your face as you could, and that's it. Every now and then, they deloused us with chemicals. Didn't help much.
Now, was this place, was it in the city, or was it out in the country? Where was it?
It was outside of the city.
Now, when you walked to work, were you walking through the city, or?
Yes, through the city. It was at the edge of the city, actually.
So did people see you walking by?
Yes.
Did they ever give you food, or try to give you food?
No.
No?
No.
Do you ever remember singing songs when you were there?
In the barracks, yes. There was I remember one episode. There was a young boy who was brought to our camp from Białystok. It was a town nearby, and he was a big singer. He was singing song.
Good. And what would you talk about with each other?
There wasn't much to talk. It was just try to survive each day. Come home and lie down on the bunk. Sometimes during the summertime, we stayed, particularly on a Sunday afternoon, stayed out there in the courtyard. And I remember seeing the butterfly flying out of the camp. I said, I wish it was a butterfly. So I could fly out. There wasn't much free time we had. Sunday afternoon, sometimes we had a few hours of free time.
What did you do on Sundays?
Just stay in the barracks. That's all. Summertime is walk around outside a little bit back and forth.
Did you have, before you started to work for your uncle, did you have a lot of dealings with him, or did you see him a lot or very rarely?
Yeah, we were pretty close.
When did you get to talk to him? I mean,
we used to go over to their place, and I remember particularly Teddy, my cousin, always used to come by our place.
Did they ever give you food?
Who?
Your cousin or your uncle? Yes,
they gave us bread on a number of occasions. My father went over there and brought home a bread.
Right. So whose idea was it to try to get you to work with your uncle?
Well, my cousin tells me that his father tried to take me in there before, when I was still in the small ghetto and baking the cheesecake, and I didn't want to go. I still was trying to do some entrepreneuring, doing some business. And then I was glad I got in there. It was a little easier. Maybe I should have gone there before, but I thought in the small ghetto I could still maneuver around and do something.
Okay. So what did your uncle do to get you in there?
He just put in a request that I am a specialist and he needs me in his shop. And since he was doing the work for the high-ranking officers, they did it what he wanted to.
Right. Do you think you would have survived otherwise?
Otherwise, who knows? We had a will of surviving. Every morning, he used to have a way when they marched us to work. I used to say to the guy next to me, "Chaim, rapes, Yankel, the rapes." I used to say, "One more day, we survive, Tickler. Let's do one more day, one day at a time."
Right. Okay. So what do you remember about working in the tailor shop?
There was a German guard with us. And the officers came in to try on the suits. Other than that, it was a little easier, just marching to work and marching back. We couldn't walk on the sidewalk. We were walking on the road. You know, they don't want us to touch a German. Soldier there.
And how many people were working in the tailor shop?
Not that many, maybe 8 or 10.
Do you remember the names of the people?
One of them was Hennig, and I don't remember the others anymore.
And what did you do?
I knew some tailoring because my father was a tailor. He always prepared yourself. Do the handwork. I wasn't a master mechanic like this hand sewing. The only females in there was my aunt and her daughter and my cousin.
Right. How many days a week did you work?
Worked every day except Sunday. I remember as we were walking there from the barracks to the place where we had the tailor shop. You know, my tante Teddy's mother always used to walk alongside me. I used to pick up many times when the German guards threw away the newspaper. I used to get a hold of a newspaper and read the news. She always used to say, "Schleim," my Jewish name was Schleim. Die leist doch die Paper. Was sitzt doch dort? Was die use the German papers? I remember doing the Normandy invasion. They were claiming that they're winning. And I was picked up, and I picked up the paper. I could see, after a few days, I could see that the headline is no more from the coastline. It is from further in already. As I told my tante, Zeizugen sind gefinnen, sie gefinnen ist. They're moving back already.
Huh. Now, were you allowed to do that or no?
No. We weren't allowed to do anything. But you had to get the news everywhere you can.
Where would you hide things?
Under your shirt. The shirt was the uniform, under the uniform.
Did you have a belt?
It was a string. It was tied around the top of the pants was holding, tied around like that. And that little can which you carried around with me was always on you, because that's where you ate you drank your breakfast and you drank your lunch.
Did you have a mitzen, a hat?
Yes, everybody had the uniform had a hat. It was a round hat, no bib.
Did they ever make you, you know, say mitzen on, mitzen off, or
no?
No, you didn't. Do you remember? Did they ever have selections in the camp, like where they would take out people who didn't look good, or
yes, then. I don't know where they were taken. They were taking them someplace. They never came back, so couldn't tell.
And what happened during the selections?
They just took some, whatever. I don't know whether they counted off some people or just took them like that, or those who didn't look good, who knows. Took them someplace and never saw them back, so.
So were the conditions much better when you were working in the tailor shop than in
Yes, it was a lot easier during the day, sure.
Did you get better food there?
The food was the same. Didn't get anything better.
No. Now the tailor shop, was that near the factory or was it?
No, we had to walk there and it wasn't, at least it wasn't. Not a long distance, but we walked at least a half an hour.
Was it in what, were you all in one room or several rooms?
One room. There was only one guard with us, one room.
Right.
At one time, as the guard was standing there, I was thinking it wouldn't be too hard for us to kill the guard, but then I realized what would happen to the rest of them. We didn't have any place where to hide. We didn't get much support from the Polish population in our town.
What do you remember about the guard?
They were just standing there.
I mean, was he nice?
Didn't talk to us. We didn't talk to him. He was just out there with me that we wouldn't run away. That's all.
Was he an older person, or?
Yeah, most of these guards were with older people. Every able-bodied person in Germany was in the army. The younger people were in the front.
It was always the same guard?
Not really, no.
No. And did the guard ever give you food?
No.
No?
No food.
Right. Okay. And when you were sitting in the tailor fowl, who were you always working next to?
I don't remember anyone. Meiler Hennig was the father of my cousin.
Right.
Moshe Hennig, you might have interviewed him too. He's in New York.
Right.
I was sitting next to him. There was another one sitting next to Dresner. And he didn't survive. His daughter survived. She lives in New York. He always used to tell me stories. He was in the U.S. at one time, and then he came back over there and got caught. And he used to tell me these stories about the tall buildings in New York, skyscrapers.
Right. So, do you remember any other stories that happened there?
No, not really.
Nothing.
Nothing spectacular. Just sitting there working and going home and sleeping, and the next day doing the same thing.
And would you say that you were a strong person, or were you?
Well, in order to survive, you had to be strong. You could see the weaker person always used to turn to the person who was stronger, and always used to say Zachor, which means remember. They figured they're not going to make it.
Right. Do you remember how you stayed warm in the winter?
Well, there was a little stove, a potbelly stove in the barracks. If we could keep some wood there, burning there, we kept it a little bit. It wasn't that much. Most of the time, we managed to get some firewood to burn there.
Did you ever trade things with other people?
I didn't. The people who smoked it, they always tried to trade the ration of bread for a butt of cigarette.
Did you ever, you never traded anything?
No.
And did you ever have any fruit, like an apple, or?
No, I forgot what color apples were, who had fruit.
Now, so you knew what was going on with the war?
Well, if I get a hold of a German newspaper, after he threw it away, we could read. And we could see whether the Germans are moving forward or they're falling back already.
Now, did you know at this time that nobody else in your family was alive?
At that time, we had some information already, yes.
So you knew that for sure?
Yes.
Okay, and were there a lot of women in this camp?
Not a lot. There was some women, not a lot.
Do you ever remember seeing any pregnant women?
No.
No?
Well, I'm sure somebody must have gotten pregnant, but I remember doing when they liquidated the camp in Rudem, and on the way march. On a dead march to Auschwitz. That's a little later. It's going to come that they were camping down at during the day. We walked and marched, and at night we lay down on the ground. And I remember a guy next to me, and it was an older guy already next to me, and he was on top of the woman. Doing his things. I'm sure there might have been some pregnancies or not, who knows.
Right. Do you ever remember seeing airplanes coming overhead?
We could hear the planes flying overhead in the early part of the war. The Allies were flying from very high for the bombing missions. And as later on, as the Germans were retreated already into Germany, when they were flying lower, we could hear at night when they were flying from, doing the bombing missions. We used to go out from the barracks and watch the scenery.
Now, did you know about places like Auschwitz and Treblinka? Did you know about gas chambers at that time?
A little later on we found out about it.
When you say a little later on, what do you mean? I mean, did you know about this when you were in the tailor shop?
We had a little inkling. We heard something, but we always didn't feel like we wanted to believe in it.
Okay. Did any of you get really sick there? Was there a hospital?
There was no hospital for us. If you got sick, if you didn't make it.
Now, the tailors, you had to have good eyesight. Did any of them wear glasses on their eyes?
Yes. A lot of them did, yeah.
Okay. And do you remember them hanging people there?
Yes, I do. You know, some it was particularly when the SS came from Lublin, they put up the gallows, and every now and then they hung somebody. For I don't know for what reason, whatever they figured.
Did you have to watch that?
Yes.
And how was it to see something like that?
Well, we were a little bit used to it already, because they did some hanging at the beginning of the war. When they first came in, they hung somebody right on the main road where we could watch them. We were beginning to get used to it.
Right. So when you were working in the tailor shop, were you always very serious at work, or were you sometimes just joking around, or did you?
No, we weren't that serious. We just did our work and just did our talking about. Always talking about the war, how it's going, where it's going.
Now, were the Germans always happy with the work that was done from the tailor shop? Or
I'm sure they were, because they could send home the finished uniforms, which before the war they could never afford Armani types of suits or jackets.
And were these all men's clothing, or were they children's clothing?
Well, some high-ranking officers asked them to make clothes for their wives or mothers, women's clothes, too.
Yeah. Do you ever remember the high-ranking officers coming into the tailor shop?
Yes, they came in for tryouts.
And do you know any of their names? Do you think any of them were well-known people?
I'm sure they were, but I don't remember their names.
Would they talk to you? Were they friendly?
No. Talk to any of us.
No?
You know, and if my uncle had a German woman come in to make slacks, how do you, you know, you got to measure the inseam.
Right.
How do you take your hand and put your tape measure up to the inseam and top of the crutch? So he had the woman take the tape measure and hold it up to her crutch and just let it down, and he measured it that way.
Right. When the Germans, these officers would come in, were you afraid to look at them in the eyes, or would you just always look away?
Not if they came. If they came in there, they just didn't bother us. They were getting good work for nothing.
Yeah. Now, did you ever have a toothbrush there?
Forget about it. But toothpastes, that was... No such a thing.
No?
A piece of bread was something to be had, that's all.
And do you remember what you were talking about with each other?
Talking primarily how the war is progressing, to see if we're going to come out ahead or we're going to wind up like the rest.
So at the time, were you very appreciative towards your uncle, what he had done for you?
Yes, because particularly after typhoid fever, I don't know how long I could have survived working those machines all night. But his son tells me that he tried to get me in there before with him, and I declined. But anyway, that's how it is.
Hey, what language would you speak to each other in?
Yiddish.
Now, you were from Poland. Where were the other people from in the camp?
They were mostly from our town. It was a camp from our town. Since the ghetto was liquidated, there were some people from the surrounding smaller communities. When they liquidated the small ghettos, they brought them into the big ghetto in our town. We were the big city of the area.
I mean, did you understand that the Germans were trying to kill all the Jews in Europe, or you didn't understand that at the time?
Not yet.
No?
We're getting an inkling, but not yet.
Did they do anything on any, like, holidays, like on Hitler's birthday or on Christmas?
Always on a Jewish holiday. And they seemed to know when the Jewish holiday. They seemed to know when Tisha B'Av was. It always did some killings during those particular holidays.
Okay, and any more stories that you remember? Do you remember people ever dying on the wire?
Hold on for a second, here's somebody.
Yep. So any other stories that you could remember?
From the factory, I told you that they would try to build a tunnel. I think I told you about that.
Right. Now, did you ever do any work for any of the prisoners, like who had problems with their clothing?
No.
Did you ever smuggle out needles or thread or anything to people? Or
no.
No. Okay, so what happened towards the end? What was going on? Were the conditions getting worse, or?
Well, when the German army moved further into Poland, when they got as far as Lublin, which was a city, I think maybe 100 miles away from us, they thought that they're going to continue their march continuously, so they evacuated our camp.
When you say did you mean the Russian army?
The Russian army.
Yeah, you said the German army.
The Russian army was approaching. When the Russian army got as far as Lublin, they thought they were going to continue their march, but the Russians had a different idea. They stopped. The Germans didn't know that in our town, so they evacuated our town. But the Russians did. They always had some communist system. They always had some cruel things in their mind. There was a Polish government in exile in London. And they were waiting for liberation to come back into power. But the Russians had a different idea. They were training their own people in Russia to take over Poland when they come in to become a communist country. So when they came in as far as Lublin, the Russians gave a signal to the Polish underground in Warsaw to start the uprising, that they'll be in Warsaw in a couple of days. They had no intentions of doing that. And the Polish intelligentsia in Warsaw started the uprising, and the Germans just leveled Warsaw. They killed them all because the Russians had no intention of moving. They didn't want the Polish government in exile taking over. They had their own cadre.
Right. So then what happened?
They marched us from the camp in Radom. We didn't know at that time it was towards Auschwitz. They marched us on a dead march several days and nights.
What do you remember about leaving the camp? Did they give you a blanket, or did they give you food, or
nothing?
Did you leave during the day or night?
We left during the day. It was hot. It was August. I remember one good Polish woman, as we were passing through a farm little town, she put out a bucket of water with a ladle, so we had a drink.
Did you get some water?
Yeah, got a little water if the German wasn't right next to you, otherwise they would get kicked.
And how many of you were walking?
That was the remnants of the Jewish community from our town in Radom, and we marched us as far as Tomaszów Mazowiecki, another town. I don't know how far away it was.
Were you marching
several days and nights? During the day we marched. At night we were just lying down on the field. And I remember one guy particularly. He said during the night, as we were laying down, he's going to try to make an escape. He dug a hole like a grave, and took a bottle. And he broke open the bottom of the bottle and stuck in his. And we covered him up with the dirt and just left the neck of the bottle to stick out for air.
Right.
I don't know if he ever survived or not. And we just marched on from there.
Now, were you walking through the woods or through cities or on
cities,
the road or?
Through cities and small towns until we got to a place, Tomaszów.